Good bread, good meat. Good gosh, here comes the crunch.
And welcome back to the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. Lot to cover, let's get right to it. But first, the fountain of useless information.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Yes. I see we have awakened the spirit of the fountain who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all. For a price, that's the reason we had to throw in the coins. Okay, oh, spirit of the fountain, here is one for you. Put on your rememberer from a number of years back. What lung ailment was Legionnaire's disease found to be a rare form of? Remember Legionnaire's disease? Well, it was a lung ailment. But what was it a rare form of?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the other.
Aha! The spirit of the fountain. Yes, that's why we call him, he's all wet. Legionnaire's disease was not a rare form of polio. No, it had nothing to do with polio at all, you silly fountain. Legionnaire's disease, it was a rare form of pneumonia. Yes, sirree, Bob. All right.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones right now, and I have on the line Arco Barman. He's a PhD student and teaching assistant at the Department of Computer Sciences at the University of Houston, and he's going to be presenting at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference coming up this April. You can find out more about that at our website. Go to our website at promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link, and it'll tell you all about the conference. Thank you for being with us, Arco.
You're very welcome. It's my pleasure.
You're going to be talking about your research in surveillance and security and law enforcement and criminal investigation. I understand you've got some sort of tools or something you're using for movement of suspicious individuals over multiple cameras in areas and even buildings. Is that right?
That's right. Our research focuses on video-based surveillance. As many people are aware, there are a lot of video cameras around us which are continuously capturing videos. It's for our own safety. If something goes wrong, if there's some criminal activities, then law enforcement is going to analyze those videos to find out who has done these activities and so on.
Okay, so how is your research going to help in that?
The research is part of something which you can call as automated surveillance. That means, given these videos captured by cameras, can we have automated surveillance? That is, we have very less human intervention. Because as many people are aware, human intervention makes things expensive. We have to put in a lot of manpower, trained personnel who have to go through these videos to figure out what's going on. So instead of that, can we make these automated so that the human intervention is minimized? In our case, our research focuses on identifying persons in multiple cameras, because, you know, persons navigating in an environment come through the field of view of cameras, and their posture, the viewpoint, and, you know, the indoor-outdoor settings and so on make differences in appearance of a person. So can we identify a person over multiple cameras given all these different factors?
All right. So what you're saying then is that given a certain area and the footage from all these cameras, your tool will be able to isolate the person or the activity that you want to isolate through various different cameras over various areas and in buildings. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. There are already a lot of algorithms and a lot of research that has been put forward, and all this tries to solve this problem. What my focus is to find out the weaknesses of these algorithms and try to correct their mistakes. For example, if we have, say, five different algorithms doing the same task, and each of them are prone to mistakes, different kinds of mistakes. You know, suppose two persons who look pretty much similar, and they are very difficult to identify which is which, and some of these algorithms make mistakes. So can we get the results of these algorithms and try to correct these mistakes by the information that we get from these algorithms?
So you look for what? Mannerisms, or you look for a type of clothing or color of clothing or a certain activity, or how do you do the separation?
Well, there are a lot of ways that this is done. Primarily, appearance models are generated, which is based on color, texture of the clothing, and how a person walks, for example, the gait of a person. And there are other features which, as humans, we are not aware of, but we leverage these features when we, as humans, identify persons from different viewpoints and angles. And there are methods to replicate this in automated surveillance by use of neural networks. So there are, in fact, a lot of different methods, different types of features, visual cues that can be used to do it.
So what you're saying is that the human eye can differentiate where machines have trouble doing that, and what you're working to do is to have your particular tools being able to differentiate like the human eye might differentiate. Is that the point?
Yes. As humans, we can differentiate people very well. And when it comes to machines, we need to teach them how to do it. And as of now, research is ongoing, and we do have good accuracy rates, but it's nowhere close to what we as humans can do. So there is a vast room for improvement in this case.
Well, even humans make serious mistakes. I understand witnesses at crimes and things like that have trouble identifying people later on and often identify the wrong ones. Do you think that this can be perfected to be even better than human IDs?
We could potentially do better than humans in certain scenarios, but the present state of research in this domain is not up to that standard right now, but we hope, we expect that it is going to be at some point of time where, you know, we can teach machines to do the task better than humans.
All right, so how do you see this for the future? How soon do you think this technology can be useful or even perfected?
As of now, this technology can be used to save a lot of time. At present, the accuracy rates are hovering around 50 to 60%. So that means that, a security personnel who's going through the videos, he need not go through the entire stuff, but just leave out 50%, and the algorithms make recommendations by removing the ones which are not good potential matches, and the human has just to identify the correct match out of a less number of persons, images of persons. So at present, there is a room for implementation of this to save time and human effort. But at a future date, supposing, I would probably put it somewhere around 5 to 10 years from now, human intervention would be further minimized.
Okay. This is, but it's presently, the tool is useful. Is it being used anywhere, or do you hope to introduce it to police departments or law enforcement soon?
There are people trying to do this, talking to law enforcement, and this problem is also seen in retail scenarios, that is inside a supermarket, say inside a grocery, of people navigating through different areas and, you know, stop crimes, even inside retail stores. So this has many applications. And we can, we look forward to do it. We look forward to talking to law enforcement. It depends on how much of the information we can get from law enforcement, and it's a two-way process, you know. We can approach law enforcement, and there are talks, and then we can go ahead. So I don't see any reason why we can't go ahead with the implementation in terms of law enforcement.
Okay, so when you make your presentation at the Homeland Security Technology Conference, and I need to point out that anybody that wants to know more about that can find out at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of the screen is a link to the conference website, which will tell all about it. And there you'll see Arco Barman listed as part of the program and that sort of thing. But when you make your presentation at the conference, Arco, what do you hope will be the takeaway? What do you want to impress upon your listeners when you're through making your presentation?
I would like to say to the audience that, you know, these are things which are very important. As many people might be aware of, surveillance cameras was the starting point of the investigation for the Boston Marathon bombing, and you know, analyzing surveillance videos are a key to solving a lot of crimes, especially in public places where we do have a lot of surveillance cameras, and we can capture the images of people doing something and then try to track the people over the entire area where we have surveillance cameras. So this is a very, very important research topic as far as surveillance and law enforcement is concerned. And I hope more and more people try to develop these systems, and we can put it into practice very soon.
Okay, and it will speed up then, going through miles and miles of footage from these cameras and various cameras and that sort of thing, which is a very laborious chore, and it'll speed it up in a hurry, so law enforcement or any interested party can get back and view the footage and pick out what they want in a pretty short period of time. It's a matter of time saving, too, I think, with this tool. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can save a lot of time by introducing automated techniques. And at present, a surveillance personnel has to go through hours of videos, and not just on one camera, it's on multiple cameras. Say there are 10 cameras, and you know, you have to analyze videos of a few hours, so it takes a huge amount of human effort to do it. And we hope we can speed it up, and we can remove human effort as far as we can, and speed up the process.
And you got your master's degree in signal processing in India, and have quite a background. What made you decide to come to the United States to further your education and your studies and pursue your work?
That's a very interesting question. I had been part of some research, which is again based on videos, and was partly based on surveillance videos. And so I had found out that a lot of work related to surveillance videos and so on was going on in different universities in U.S. So I tried to look up people who are working in these areas, and that's how I came across this position over here, and that's how I came here.
So how long have you been in the United States?
I've been in the United States about 3.5 years. This is my fourth year of PhD.
Do you want to go back to India and practice after you've completed your studies here?
Well, I haven't decided on that, but, you know, whatever life offers.
I could imagine you'd be very valuable in India. There's been some troubling things that have gone on, the attack at Mumbai not too long ago, and other things that are happening in that part of the country. I could imagine your studies would be highly valuable in your homeland. So we're really glad to have you, and we're looking forward to your presentation here, Arco. I know mm-hmm. that probably during the course of your career that you have been mentored by people that you really respect, or maybe you're even mentoring some people at this particular time. Do you have a word of wisdom for us, maybe words to live by you can leave us with here before we end the interview?
Well, a word of advice would be to, you know, people undertake research and they try to read up what people did before them. Well, that's important. What I've found out is that that's important, but what's more important is thinking yourself, coming up with ideas, and only studying what has been done before you is not going to help progress the world. The world needs inventors. The world needs people who can think, who can solve problems. So instead of, you know, trying to read up the past, that's good, that shows you the way ahead, but you have to be one of those inventors to take the world ahead.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Arco Barman, presently a PhD student at the teaching and a teaching assistant at the Department of Computer Sciences at the University of Houston, is going to be making a presentation at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference. It's coming up in April. His research is helping the surveillance, security, and law enforcement and criminal investigation, the movement of suspicious individuals over multiple cameras in an area, or even the complexities of a building. So, Arco Barman, thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones right now, and we've got on the line Dr. Vijayan Asari. He's professor of electrical and computer engineering at the University of Dayton. That's in Dayton, Ohio. And we're so glad to have you with us, doctor. You're going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference. It's going on in Boston, the 25th and 26th of this month, and people can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. In the meantime, it's so good to have you and get us a little preview of what you're going to be doing. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I understand your specialty is omnidirectional camera analysis. Because you're involved in wide area surveillance research. Now, is that 3D surveillance?
The wide area surveillance means it will be covering a lot of area on ground by cameras of different viewing capabilities. One of them, the most important one recently developed, is the omnidirectional camera, which can capture data 360 degrees in all directions, and we are processing that data captured by the omnidirectional camera to identify the objects of interest, human beings, and the specific objects of interest, and report the presence of any specific objects of interest or human being and or any different actions and activities. That's the direction of the research which we have in Vision Lab.
So do you use, obviously you must use more than one camera lens, is that right? And if you do, how far apart are they?
Yeah, actually we are not manufacturing any kind of omnidirectional cameras. We use omnidirectional cameras to gather information. So our task is to extract information from that wide viewing angle camera and make meaningful decisions for automatically. That means processing and decision making by algorithms developed by our research group in Vision Lab instead of storing the data and viewing by human analysts later and so on and so forth. The reason is we are capturing enormous amount of data all the time by the sensors available today, and the sensors available tomorrow will be much more capable in grabbing data also of different capabilities, different frame rates. So in that case, it is always in our perspective, it's always better to extract information and take meaningful decisions then and there, and the store the information. Then the storage will be minimal, as well as there will be some tasks which are identified which could be given to the authorities for pay more attention to that point.
How long does it take you to analyze then the views that these multi-directional cameras capture?
So we are at present we are developing algorithms. The implementation and deployment of the system will be in a hardware system which will be able to process the scenery simultaneously by parallelizing the algorithms and implementing with different graphical processor units, as well as different fast processing hardware facilities available today. So basically, we are intending for real-time processing and performance. But at this point of time, we are in the algorithm development to make more robust algorithms to perform without any false positives or false negatives. This is a very important project which we are currently working with the Air Force Research Lab. So this paper is a joint paper with the Air Force Research and University of Dayton.
Yeah, fascinating. Now, the objects that would be most useful this process in detecting would be like drones and that sort of thing that you say could disappear under a bridge and maybe get lost and come out another area and fool the trackers. But you're able to keep track of it even when the object will disappear behind a certain obstruction of source. Is that what you're saying?
That's what exactly I was saying, yes.
So that would be very, very important, especially with the new drone warfare that we're experiencing so much of and that we've used for years and now is being used against us by others that are dropping drones.
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to look forward to seeing you at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference. That's April 25th and 26th. And for someone to find out more information about that conference, can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. And you'll be able to enjoy Dr. Vijayan Asari. I'm having a lot of trouble with that first name, but I hope I'm getting close. Anyway, it'll be very exciting. Two papers are being presented, and one on omnidirectional camera analysis, another on algorithms for tracking aircraft, especially drone and that sort of thing. Did I cover everything, Doctor?
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to seeing you at the conference.
Thank you.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
We're not looking at a trend here. Machine learning and AI is not a trend. It's a totally new foundational technology that will be a part of everything going forward. There's so much data being produced today that if you're not using machine learning and AI to understand the patterns and to create connectedness inside of it, you're going to be falling behind. I mean, kind of a sense of Darwinism is going to set in, I think, in the market. Those that don't engage machine learning and AI are going to fall behind the ones that are.
Dave Kopp, CEO of Brainspace Corporation in Dallas, Texas.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Waiting for you.